fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
So the game has begun. The blame game, if you will. No, the Soviet-backed rebels had nothing to do with downing the Malaysian airliner. It must have been the same thing that knocked out the other one. The Ukrainians and the Americans did this to make Mother Russia look bad because they're imperialists. Lair Adams here with the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer and the Mercury Free Studio to present our host, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight on this beautiful Sunday evening here in Central Florida, where it's a little bit wet out there in some places and it's real dry in others. So if you're heading out on the road, just keep that in mind. You might run across some wet roads along the way. I am Christopher Hart. That was Lair Adams. And we got the full complement of guys in here in the studio today. We got our executive producer, Nostradamus, on hand.
Hi there.
And also our man, Johnny Guns, WTF News Hound.
Good evening, everybody.
And we got, of course, our man, Carl Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
And don't forget, Carl does a great show, another great episode. Or is it addition? I think Brian said it was an addition. Great addition of the Carl Jackson Show yesterday morning once again.
Thank you.
Live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 right here on AM 660. The Answer, well, actually not, because we're on 1520 WBZW right now because the Rays are still playing baseball in Minnesota this afternoon. They were winning earlier, but are they still winning?
They're hanging on.
All right, they're still winning.
5-3.
5-3 in the 8th.
All right, so if they're going to bump us off AM 660, the answer, at least they can do is win. So they're on that path right now. And as usual, when this situation occurs, folks, you're listening either on 1520 WBZW, in which case we'll let you know, of course, when we go back up on the stick, as it were. And if you're not listening on 1520 WBZW and you are listening, you don't have to worry about it because you're listening on the computer at am660theanswer.com or on one of your smart devices because you've downloaded the appropriate app. In any case, we want to thank you for being out there as we depart once again on our live 3-hour Sunday evening tour. And we are coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, give my friend Dr. James E. Hardy a call at 407-678-3399. All right. Now, also, you know you can be a part of the show too by calling us at 407-774-8255. And keep that phone handy because at some point during the next 3 hours, we're likely to give away some Roxy Pacifics. And tonight, we're also going to be playing our Who Said That contest, except once again, I've twisted it around a little bit. And I'm going to ask you what he said or what did he say.
When was the last time we did a Who Said That contest where it was actually Who Said That?
Last week.
Oh, okay. Trying to keep track of these.
But I'll tell you why I came up with twisting it like that this week, because of something I did yesterday. No, we've got a guest lined up for today, Audrey Russo, and she's with Real. When is it again here?
Well, the website is Clash Daily. With Doug Giles.
All right. She calls it Real Talk Radio, though.
Right. She also does a radio cast on an internet radio network.
Okay. And she has written an article, a blog, called No Way, Freedom Will Never Be Found at Islam's Address. And we'll be talking to her at the first part of the second hour of the show. We'll, of course, have Sonny joining us at the first part of the third hour of the show. Lair's got his closing comments. Nostradamus has got the past to talk about. Johnny Guns has got some WTF news. And Carl's got a story for his corner. So where we'll all be sitting and listening here shortly. But before we start talking about that, I want to congratulate the Orlando Predators. They are now officially in the playoffs. They won in overtime last night. Woo-hoo! When Greg Carr intercepted a pass and returned it pretty much the length of the field for a touchdown.
They nearly got voodooed.
Nearly. It was a very high-scoring game. And Bernard Morris, once again, the quarterback who went to Jones High School, had another great game. And a number of receivers had a lot of catches. So they are now officially in the playoffs. One more regular season home game, which is a week from yesterday, against the Arizona Rattlers, the team with the best record in the league. It will be at 7:30 at CFE Arena out at UCF, and hope to see you out there.
Our friend Coach Ken predicted they were going to beat Arizona. I disagree with him, but we'll see what happens next Saturday night.
All right, yeah. And Ken will be on the show Friday, and we'll talk about that with him. And hopefully we'll have Coach Keefe on the show Friday, too, to talk about that and talk about the season in general, because once again, the Predators are in the playoffs, and looks like they'll have a home. I believe the first game will be a home game in the playoffs. But one more regular season home game a week from yesterday. So congratulations to the Predators. And also want to congratulate Dinesh D'Souza, because not only is his movie doing very well, his book is now also doing extremely well. Am I not correct there, Nostradamus?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Sunday Sentinel that has a Publisher's Weekly list of hardcover nonfiction. A Blood Feud by our friend Ed Klein got bumped down from 1 to 2. Hillary's book got bumped from 2 to 3. Ben Carson's book stays firm at 4. And coming out of nowhere, America by Dinesh D'Souza, 1 in the hardcover nonfiction section. You know why that is? Because everybody who shops at Costco couldn't get it until now.
And I'm holding my edition of the book that I got from Costco just yesterday after we did the What's the Score show. And hope you folks listened in on that. And we'll be back again live next Saturday morning at 10 after Carl's show. But I zipped over here to the Costco right here, you know, at 434 and 436 and went in there to see if they did have it back on the shelf. And at first I thought they didn't, because I had a hard time finding it. And then I did find it. And the reason I had a hard time finding it is because they were almost all gone. And I saw something that I've never seen before at Costco. Now, I've been buying books at Costco for years because I can get them the cheapest there. All right?
Sure.
I hate to say it, but you know, the only times I buy them at
Barnes, pay more?
You know, the only time I buy them at Barnes & Noble is because when I want to get it autographed, right? And they have a book signing there. But when I can, I get them at Costco because they're dirt cheap. And by the way, they had marked it down another dollar, and they had a little sign there showing the price of it, and then they had the thing that I've never seen before, Limit 5.
In Costco.
That
usually
is amazing.
It's minimum 6.
Well, you know, Costco's a place where you go to bulk buy, right?
Yeah.
And I've never seen that for any of their products, and especially never a book.
Was there a limit on Hillary's book?
There were dozens of Hillary's books. It was in a prominent place, and it looked like nobody had touched it.
Well, that's what surprises me about your rundown there, because hers is still at third place?
According to this. I mean, everybody has their own list. This is from the Sunday Sentinel, so it's probably the company that owns the Sentinel, all of their papers together.
That publishing company that publishes her book.
Right.
Could be.
Now, I haven't really had a chance to read hardly any of the book at all. I've thumbed through it. It's got some pretty cool pictures in it, so I read the captions of the pictures.
It follows along with the movie pretty much. It covers the same ground.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I of course, did read the jacket, and I intend to read it in the coming days. I'm still working on Blood Feud, having a hoot with that. But I did see something in there that clicked with me, and that's why I came up with today's Who Said That contest is going to be what he said, or what did he say. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you who the person is, and I'm going to tell you the question that they were asked, and then I'm going to ask you what was their response. So it's sort of the reverse of who said that. And we'll see if you folks can get that. If you've seen the movie or if you've got the book, you probably have an edge. And Carl's been, encouraging to see the movie. Now, if you have, it might just pay off for you. We will do that later on in the show, though, when we get to Dinesh D'Souza. I mean, when we get to the Who Said That contest. First, we're going to do what we did last week. Since we have a guest at the top of the second hour, we're going to have Nostradamus do his past in the next segment of the show, and then Carl's Corner, so we make sure we get Carl's Corner in, and we can all make a few comments on that. Once again, you folks, though, can be a part of the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. We will be talking about MA-17. Later on in the show, after the guest, I'm going to compare what the response that we've been getting so far from this administration has been and the response that Ronald Reagan had in store for the old Soviet Union when they shot down Korean Airlines Flight 007. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe there were more people killed on that flight, not that that is a factor in any of this. But certainly there's a stark difference in terms of the way the two presidents are handling this situation. And I spoke Friday on the show a little bit about how we're missing inspiration in America. And I got the idea, to be honest with you, from Sheriff Jerry Demings at Ed Ganster's memorial on Friday. Dennis was there, you know what I'm talking about. He had the proclamation declaring Friday a day of inspiration here in Orange County. We're in Seminole County.
We're in Seminole, but
in Orange County, Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, and it dawned on me that, you know, when we talk about we want real leadership. When you think about it, Barack Obama's showing leadership. It's all the wrong kind, though. You know, he's leading this country down a wrong path, and it's a form of leadership. It's chaotic. It's you know, he's learning on the job type thing, and it's not real leadership in the sense that it's missing one of the basic elements, and that is he is not inspirational. He was elected being inspirational, in particular in 2008, the hope and change. He was inspiring people to greater, if you would, purpose.
It wasn't
life.
About content at all, really. It was about hope and change, and it
right.
was all about vague, in the clouds, can't define it kind
right.
of feelings.
But unfortunately, his inspiration at that time has faded. And it has faded because it was not based on any true principles, any true core values other than we need to destroy America in order to change it, like Dinesh D'Souza would.
Well, his big announcement, though, Chris, was basically to tell the Russians, I mean, it didn't give any warnings. It was to tell them, we're concerned. I mean, that's like, well, you hurt my feelings.
Exactly. And so hardly inspirational. But Ronald Reagan was every bit the inspiration, especially in times like these, especially when the cards were down. I mean, especially when the odds looked bad. That's when he was at his best.
Well, we got a country right now it's so anti, we don't want to get into any conflicts. He just feeds right into it. The American Adversaries will be back.
And we're back. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Classic, our Sunday night edition where we go on our three-hour tour. And once again, we'll alert you folks who are listening on 1520 WBZW as soon as we go back up on a stick at AM 660 The Answer. In the meantime, we are live. You can give us a call. 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we go to Nostradamus, I just want to mention real quickly, you know, today is the expiration date of the negotiations with Iran to do something about their nuclear arms program. And the expiration date has now come and gone. And contrary to the promises that the administration gave us 6 months ago, when they said if no deal was done in 6 months, that the sanctions would be clamped back down, not only are they not going to clamp the sanctions back down, they are going to extend the talks for 4 months. And they are going to punish the Iranians by allowing them to access another $2.8 billion that were frozen as part of the sanctions regime.
Well, I
tough
mean,
them,
that could be a punishment. They could have given them $5.6
billion.
Instead, they settled with $2.8.
You know you're right, Carl. Shame on me for saying that.
So the president's not going to clamp it, huh?
I guess not.
We're sending you to bed with supper and dessert.
And dessert.
And John Kerry was on Fox News Sunday,
yes.
faithfully defending that
All right. Well, let's find out more about what happened this week that we didn't get a chance to talk about from
Nostradamus.
Hello.
Predict.
What do I predict?
The past.
Yes, I do.
What do you know about it?
Thank you, Mr. 5-Minute Professor. And I've been told that I'm pretty good at predicting the past. So you lead with your strength, folks. So that's what I do. I look into the last 7 days, look at the stories that Chris had me jump all over. And then jump off of, because he said, sorry, we got a guest. We got no time left for you. We're interviewing the Queen of Versailles, so just put that off till Sunday night.
Your chopped liver.
So we did. You know how when you're talking about someone and you say, oh, God bless him, that usually comes right before you say something that makes him sound like an idiot?
Now, you Yankees always say that about us Southerners, but that's not true.
Well,
half the time it is.
What about the new White House press secretary, Josh Earnest? God bless him. He says that our president has lived up to his commitment to have the most transparent administration in history.
Yeah.
He says there's a number of steps we've taken to give people greater insight into what's happening at the White House. If there ever is a day when the White House press corps sits back and says, you know, we're getting all the information we need from the White House press office, then everybody in the White House press corps would not be doing their jobs, right? In effect, he's saying, hey, if we told you guys everything, then you wouldn't need to exercise your journalistic integrity, would you?
There would be nothing for them to do, sure.
Earnest says that as the new Jay Carney, he is going to try to help the president live up to his commitment to be the most transparent president in history. I see right through that.
I've got a nickname for him already.
Go ahead.
Josh, anything but Earnest.
Okay.
So we'll just call him anything but for short.
Yeah. You know, most police, and my dad was a police officer, so I kind of have an insight into this. Police would love a world in which the only people with guns besides the police were the bad guys. If nothing else for the fact that when they saw a gun out that wasn't attached to a guy in a uniform, they'd know who the bad guys were. Well, you know, we don't live in that world. And the police chief of Detroit has given credit to armed citizens for the drop in crime that the city is currently celebrating. In the latest incident up there, police say an 88-year-old who was beaten and robbed inside his East Side home last week in Detroit probably thought he was defending himself against attackers when he opened fire Monday on a television news crew.
He was defending himself against attackers.
Yeah. On Thursday, a woman appeared on his front porch asking for help. And when he opened his door, two men rushed in, assaulted him, and tied him up with a phone cord before robbing him of several items. After a crew from Channel 7 came onto the man's porch, he fired a single shot. Nobody was hurt, and the bullet lodged into a tree. Despite incidents like this, more and more often, people are using their firearms to save their own lives, their own property, and their neighbors. And the Detroit police chief says this is a good thing. 37% fewer robberies than last year, 22% fewer break-ins, and 30% fewer carjackings. Now, as for the economy in Detroit, that still leaves a lot to be desired.
But it's actually, that says something even more important, because the economy in Detroit is actually very poor, and you are seeing these reductions in crime. To me, that magnifies what is going on there.
It's even tougher to make things better
right
in a place that's so depressed.
Exactly. Exactly. And I like to compare those numbers with Chicago.
Mm. Next story. This is from the website SenateConservativesFund.com. And this is something that I send both to Carl and to Chris, because each of them had kind of a different take. And Chris convinced me that, no, the two of them actually are both both of your points of view have validity.
Not mutually exclusive.
Right, that's right. Chris McDaniel, as we know, lost the runoff to Thad Cochran in the Mississippi Senate race. Or as Scotty Nell Hughes chastised me, he didn't lose. The election was stolen from him. Well, turns out that seven sitting senators, say that five times fast, seven sitting Republican senators have donated money to Thad Cochran's Super PAC. That's really not anything unusual, because sitting senators like to support sitting senators. Okay? In addition, though, these seven, Mitch McConnell, Bob Corker, Rob Portman, Orrin Hatch, Richard Burr, Roy Blunt, and Mike Crapo, have also donated to a liberal PAC. that use that money to put out TV and radio ads urging Democrats to cross over and vote in the Republican primary. They claim in the ads that a McDaniel win would be a loss for race relationships between blacks and whites. I've talked to the guy who's the communications director for Mr. Chris McDaniel. His name is Noel Fritch. And there's a lot of details that are going to come out in the weeks ahead. Hopefully they'll come out in time for the general election, but they may not, because there is the rabbit hole goes very deep in this story.
Well, now, you kind of teased the first part of that there. Tell why Carl said one thing and I said another.
Well, what Carl said was this is ridiculous and disgraceful, whereas you, Chris, said, hey, you use whatever's at your resources. You use whatever you can to try to win your race. And even if it means telling people on the other side to vote for your guy.
Which, yeah, go ahead.
You go ahead and say what you're going to say.
No, which I was going to say, I don't think we disagreed, except to say that there was one part where I absolutely agree that you should reach out to others. I don't think that you should manipulate others.
Yeah.
And the tactics they use, that was my concern.
Yeah, Carl was making a moral statement.
Sure.
I was making a statement about strategy,
politics,
reality,
right.
If you strategy want to call
wise,
it that.
That's brilliant.
And I agree with Carl.
I
don't like what they did, but let me ask you this. You think that's the first time that's ever been done?
No, absolutely
won't
not.
Be the last.
Exactly.
Uncovering
that's,
it is going to be.
That's my point.
Right.
And that's why we compare politics to professional wrestling, where it's more like there are no rules than that there are
absolutely
rigid rules. You understand what I'm saying
yep
here?
Yeah,
and so McDaniel got out slickered by these guys.
Yep.
And,
okay,
and that's the bottom line. Okay.
Let's finish up with a little audio in the background. This is inspired by Warren. Warren said I should play this song underneath my last story of the segment today, because today is the last day of a very, very special month.
Oh.
For certain people of a certain faith. Of course, we're talking about
Ramadan.
Well, no, I just did. So it's a very, very, it's a night of holiness. Did someone say Rama Lama? That's right. For the whole month, all these Muslims have been not eating all day and pigging out at night. Did I say pig?
Oh.
I'm sorry. If I offended you, go have yourself a pity party. Anyway, we might as well go to the break with this. That was Nostradamus Predicts the Past. Sometimes you need to be taught a lesson, don't you? And not from Johnny B. Bad, either. Nostradamus here with the American Adversaries, Lair and Chris and Johnny and Jeff and me. And the guy who is the host of the next segment, you hear him every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 in the morning, and also 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., unless the Rays cut his repeat in half like they did yesterday. I'm listening to him and hearing the great things Carl Jackson says, and they went to the Rays pregame show. Here he will be uncut. He will be fully in force. It is time for Carl's Corner.
Thank you for that. And I will be, this is absolutely raw, because this is live radio and I forget many of my notes at home. So, but actually it doesn't matter, because I found an article that I think you guys need to hear about. Several weeks ago, we spoke about on this show, we talked about the refugees that are, that have resulted or as a result of Obama drawing his quote-unquote red line that obviously was never drawn, refugees from Iraq, Syria, you name it, just literally ranging in the millions. It's getting absolutely out of hand. Well, there's another story that's happening in the Middle East as a result of our feckless president, and there's something that it's something that you should hear. Because what we have from our president, whether you're looking at the border crisis, whether you're looking at Israel and Hamas, or whether you're looking at Christians in Iraq, we're talking about selective mercy for political expediency. So I want to bring to you this article that I found on Breitbart.com that I'll be reading from. And the article is entitled, Sebastian Gorka, Christian Holocaust Underway in Iraq, USA and World Look On. Okay, so here we go. When U.S. troops invaded Iraq in 2003, there were at least 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. Over the last 10 years, significantly in the last few months, with the emergence of ISIS, that figure has dropped to about 400,000. In a region where Christians predate Muslims by centuries, over 1 million Christians have been killed or have had to flee because of jihadi persecution, while America is basically standing by and watching. That's our president. This is the sad news that Breitbart's national security editor and one of the world's leading experts on asymmetric warfare, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, brought to Breitbart News Saturday. Hosted by editor-in-chief Alex Marlowe on SiriusXM Patriot Radio, Dr. Gorka explained that in the last 48 hours, ISIS, which is now called the Islamic State in Mosul, has painted the letter N for Nazarene on the houses of all the surviving Christians in the city. ISIS has basically given an ultimatum to all the Christians left. You can either flee or convert to Islam, or we will kill you. Gorka points out that over the last 20 years, America has stood up around the world to save Muslims, whether it was to save the Muslim in Bosnia or the Albanians, Kosovars, and Muslims in Serbia. It is now time for a humanitarian operation to save the remaining Christians in Iraq, he said. It is time for the American people and our representatives to do something for our co-religionists remaining in the Middle East. Marlowe observed that the blatant religious cleansing is horrifying and asked Gorka, why is it that the mainstream press is not interested in this story? Gorka first responded by saying, let's face it, this is a Christian version of the Holocaust and nothing less. The Middle East expert went on to explain that the mainstream media is in full support of the White House narrative that the president single-handedly killed Osama bin Laden and that Al-Qaeda is now on the ropes. Therefore, jihad must be shriveling up around the world. This myopic strategy of only targeting Al-Qaeda has provided great opportunities for other jihadists and has given rise to ISIS. On top of that, Gorka asserts that the mainstream media are warped in terms of their worldview. According to Breitbart's national security expert, the media is postmodernist, sophisticated, and secularist. So when it comes to the idea of religious persecution, they say, well, who really cares? Because I don't believe in God. If you're not sophisticated enough to be a postmodernist, secularist, tough on you. Gorka didn't finish there with his scathing indictment of the mainstream media. He added that it is their racism that will let this genocide of Christians continue. To the mainstream media, Gorka charged, the dark-skinned person always has to be the victim. Either the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, the Nicaraguan gangbangers coming across the border likened to juvenile political refugees. The idea that the white-skinned Christian are the Israelis as victims, that goes against every narrative this media wishes to peddle. They are necessarily so locked into their own ideological vision of the world. Marlowe summed it up by saying Christians are politically targeted in America frequently. They are being physically targeted in Africa, Syria, and Iraq. Gorka emphasized that from his firsthand experience in Africa, Christians will always be blamed for starting any upheaval. So you have to understand, after reading this article, that Jews and Christians alike in the Middle East are being what I would call Obama'd or George W. Bushed in a sense. These people are being neglected. Our allies are being neglected. You look at consider the moral clarity. Charles Krauthammer wrote a brilliant article last week. Consider the moral clarity that's going on here. We have a president. We have a nation in Israel that will fight for us, to defend us, to help us, yet we abandon them. Consider the moral clarity when we compare Hamas. We compare Hamas as if they're morally equivalent to the Israelis. The Israelis that gave Hamas Gaza. The people in Gaza voted in Hamas. The Israeli that took their people out of Gaza, took them off of rooftops, took their military, their tanks, everything out of Gaza in order to appease these people. They gave the Muslims in Gaza 3,000 greenhouses, not only so they could survive, but so that they could thrive. This is the difference between the Christian and the Jew and the Muslim. There's a moral clarity that is profound, and our president doesn't see it. Our president doesn't care. And this is something that you should be paying attention to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You know, the secularists, with them, morality is relative. And that's what we see here is moral relativism. You know, what's good for one group is not good for another group. It's relative, right?
Absolutely.
And this is nothing new in history. And it is absolutely horrendous what we've done. You know, Joanne King Herring, and we need to see what's going on with her. I'm concerned about her. I saw a special just a few weeks ago about Charlie Wilson on, I believe it was the History Channel. And it wasn't the movie Charlie Wilson's War. It was actual footage of Charlie Wilson and Joanne Herring and others who were involved in that. And one of the huge mistakes that Joanne has said repeatedly on our show that we made with that first Iraq deal, excuse me, first Afghanistan thing, when we helped out what ended up becoming...
Against the Russians.
Right. We helped out the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, basically, to oust the Russians out of Afghanistan. And then we just packed up and left. All right. And we left that country in the hands of these groups to fend for themselves, and we see what happened. We did the same thing in Iraq. What was it, just a couple of weeks ago you reported on the show about the judge who convicted Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, ISIS murdered him.
Murdered him. And ISIS is going around in these cities, and they're destroying all kinds of religious historical sites and new churches and new synagogues, wherever they exist, and mosques. They are destroying certain mosques as well. If you are a moderate Muslim, or if you're not teaching the right stuff in that mosque, they're going to bring it down to the ground. And we have abandoned them again. And this is why groups like Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, why they have such influence in these parts of the world, why such relatively small numbers of them can cause a great deal of problem. Because you know what they say? We live here. The Americans don't. The Americans are going to leave, and when they do, we're going to come see you. And if you do business with Americans, we're going to kill you, and not only going to kill you, we're going to kill your family, and we're going to kill all your friends, and we're going to burn your house down. How do you like that? And guess what? That has a lot of, you know, rings pretty true to the local residents. And then when it happens, it makes the problem even worse. We never should have left Iraq. We should not be leaving Afghanistan. Folks, you may not want to hear it, but we need to be ramping up the war in the Middle East and our involvement, not backing down. Because as we back down, you can clearly see what is happening. As we move out, it ain't God-fearing people who are moving in. It is terrorists. And let me tell you something. When Eric Withholder, goes on the networks on the Monday morning saying that he is concerned that that violence is going to be brought here, we better doggone pay attention. Because we've been saying that here on this show for a long time. George Bush said that. You listen to the guys who serve in Iraq and Afghanistan. When you ask them why, they say because we don't want them to bring that terrorism here to the United States. The only way to prevent that is to keep it over there, which means we have to physically be over there involved in the conflict, whether we like it or not. We don't really have a choice.
Got an email over the weekend from one of our listeners. Did you know Hamas is an acronym? It stands for Hiding Among Mosques and Schools.
All right, we'll be right back. And, of course, we know that you can. And once again, if you're listening on 1520 WBZW, we'll definitely be letting you know when we go back up on AM 660, The Answer. In the meantime, just sit back and enjoy us, and thanks for being with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. You got the full complement in the house today. You got Lair Adams. You got Noster Dennis. You got Johnny Guns. You got Carl Jackson, Christopher Hart, and, of course, Jeff Sinis is on the bridge tonight.
But no Lucas, which means you can't see us on the YouTube. Stream.tv.
Yeah. You're blind.
Yeah, until we get the camera permanently installed in the studio here, we can only do it sporadically, I should say. But we can figure out a place and how we're going to... Anyway, we'll address that.
Is that a word, periodically?
Yeah, the camera's taped to Lucas's head, so really when he's not here...
He's got the cam. He's probably driving somewhere.
Cap cam.
Yeah,
he's got the
right.
Cap cam.
Actually, he's probably at work right now, but 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, folks, Roxy Pacifics is really great stuff. And if you haven't haven't gotten a free bottle of this stuff, I tell you what, give us a call right now at 407-774-8255. We'll give you a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, the all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Friday I was doing some carpentry, and I jammed my hand up against a couple of boards, and it kind of got pinched in between, and it...
Ooh.
Made a pretty good gouge in the top of my hand here, just right behind the knuckle of my first finger there. And immediately went over to the car where I keep some in the console there. I dabbed it off a little bit and then sprayed some on and then wiped it off to clean it and then sprayed some on again. It kind of stung a little bit for maybe 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to work. The bleeding stopped pretty much right away. And later on, I washed it with soap and everything, sprayed some more Roxy on it again, sprayed some Roxy on it before I went to bed that night. I tell you, this thing is almost completely healed. And if you'd have seen it the other day when I first did it, the skin was actually peeled back, you know, and it's pretty much grown right back now. And it's great stuff. 407-774-8255. If you'd like a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, and if you'd like to find out more about them, go to roxypacifics.net, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X. .net.
By the way, stuff. Just mentioning that, Chris, I don't know if you saw that a college student has come up with a wonderful new process for soldiers in the field that are seriously injured, gaping wounds. Did you see that? They inject foam, like a foam, not foam rubber, but a foam type of material into the wound, and it swells up from the inside out.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
It's, and they're like saying, this is... It's too cool.
They sell stuff like that at Home Depot for filling holes.
Well, it's the same idea, though.
It's like Fix-A-Flat, but just for people.
Well, look, now they actually glue people's incisions
super glue
together,
right.
too, especially children.
Or crazy glue, one of those. Yeah, it's amazing, you know, simple fixes for the human body. And this is a very simple yet very effective one, roxypacifics.net. Hope you can get yourself some.
It's all natural.
That's right. And if you order really soon this week, you get free shipping. Free shipping and handling. And so the price that you see per bottle will be the entire price that you will pay. So get your hands on some today. All right, let's get back to what Carl was talking about, because these refugees, are a huge problem all over the Middle East. And really, we're seeing refugees, if you will, come to the United States across the border. At least that's what we're being sold. The storyline is that these are refugees. They are not coming here to steal our jobs. They're coming here because they're fleeing violence and poverty. And, well, if everybody in the world fled violence and poverty and came here, everybody would be here.
And there'd be violence and poverty here.
And we don't.
Much more than there.
Right. And we don't need that.
And disease.
Exactly. And we don't need that sort of thing. But the problem that, as I said, it exists in the Middle East. It only gets worse when we think that we can turn around and walk away from it. And it has nothing to do with oil. Believe me. We're not there for the oil. Look, we're not there, right? And we're still getting the oil. It's not about oil. It's about human rights, human dignity, and the slaughter of innocent people. And this, what's been going on against Christians, has been going on not only in Iraq, but it's happened in Egypt, too, until Al-Sisi has pretty much put an end to it since he's become the ruler of that country. But it's happening in other parts of Africa as well. Now, I wish I had the story with me, and I actually carried it with me for a couple of weeks waiting for an opportunity like this. Thanks a lot, Carl, because I don't have the story with me right now. It was about... a town in Central Africa, and I believe the country's name is Central Africa, but it's a country bordering Nigeria, right, like in the heart of Africa. And in this particular town, the story starts off talking about how these militias were going house to house, rounding up people and giving them the opportunity either to get out of town or be killed. It was Christians doing it to Muslims because they were sick and tired of it happening to them. And they ran the Muslims out of town, and the army came in to protect the Muslims. If Christians stand up to this, they can stop it. But Christians have to stand up to this starting in the United States of America. And doing it not because we are protecting Christians, but because we are protecting people of all faiths and all colors. As Carl said, the guy wrote in the article, how many lives have we spent trying to protect and free Muslims? Well, how many did we spend in Iraq? All right, they're a Muslim population, right, mostly? Although they do have practically, at least until now, they had practically every religion known to humanity represented in Iraq. Not so much Buddhist or Hindus, but you certainly had Christians, and you had Zoroastrians, and you had others as well.
Found the article you were talking about.
Okay, it was the Central African Republic.
Is correct, Central African Republic.
And what does it say?
Tens of thousands of Muslims flee Christian militias in Central African Republic. I just pulled up the article, waiting for it to fully download here.
Yeah, and part of the dilemma is, of course, Christians don't want to be doing this sort of thing, right?
Sure.
Right?
Right.
Okay, but you see, the problem is when the United States won't do anything, either people get killed or someone else will. That's the bottom line. Nature will not tolerate a vacuum. It just will not. You can protest all you like. You know, you can go, yeah, I love Rand Paul. He does. You can do that all you like. The problem, however, is not going to go away. It will only fester and get worse. And that's what we see happening right before our very eyes. Is this not true? Where can you tell me where the problem is getting better? You know, it was funny, you know, as you mentioned John Kerry on the news channels this morning. He was on NBC. He hit all of them.
Okay.
He was on NBC first, then he was on Fox, and CBS, and then ABC. On NBC, he actually went down a laundry list of glowing success stories in Barack Obama's foreign policy, how we're engaging all over the world, and things are just, the United States is really rallying the world. It was a total fantasy. I mean, Even David Gregory had to say, well, you know, it's hard for you to say, you know, that there's a success going
when the
on
world
in the Middle
is on
East.
Fire. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, and China. China's being aggressive.
Sure.
This is not just confined to the Middle East. It's not just confined to Central America or South America. It's all over the place.
And he was trying to sound strong on the MH17 airline crisis, for God's sakes. And I'm thinking, the bodies have been there for, what, 3 days now, 4 days? And no one is doing anything. Separatists have piled up 196 bodies on trucks, and he's trying to sound like they're doing something? Are you kidding me?
And we'll be talking more specifically about MA-17 after our guest, who's going to come join us in the next segment.
I do have some quick breaking news. There has been an Israeli soldier that has been captured, and 13 IDF soldiers have been killed. So
it's, and there again, in Israel, you know, it's flaring up. And when you have a president who is so disengaged as our very own, who is so uninspirational as our very own, it leaves a huge vacuum to be filled. And we see it being filled, only unfortunately in ways that we're not going to like, even more so as things progress. And I guarantee you this, that's not going to be the first commercial airliner to be shot down by a missile. And the next one will probably be a shoulder-fired missile. And because these weapons are proliferating all over the world, and we will not be able to run and hide behind the Atlantic and Pacific's oceans. When we can't even secure our own border with Mexico, how do we think that we are going to avoid worldwide conflicts which only want to engage us? We're going to wait until we're pushed completely into a corner? It's unfortunate, you know, but we'll continue this conversation later. But one of the things I keep hearing about in terms of Barack Obama's foreign policy, he's not going to do anything the American public doesn't want him to do. The American public's not up to, you know, more engagement.
That's real leadership.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, in the dictionary, his picture's there under measured response. That's all he does is a measured response.
Yeah, a very small.
And it's always out of his reach.
Small, yeah, there you go. All right, okay, so stick around because when we come back, we'll be joined. And I think this is going to fall right into what we've been talking about here. Audrey Russo has written an article, No Way, Freedom Will Never Be Found at Islam's Address. And unfortunately, that address is now beginning to include more and more streets. All right, but it hadn't got here yet, folks, because you are listening to the American Adversaries. Please don't go away. Everybody
wants to do something. Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of...
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Lair Adams here with you on the Sunday night edition. Still have 2 hours left. And we have so many co-hosts in the studio tonight. There's actually more than the Zimbabwean army. At least 5 of them. And the best, the most right of our co-hosts is sitting to my right. Nostra Dennis.
I'm the best.
You're right, because you're on my right.
See, okay, fine. Well, why don't we get to our guest? Because our guest, you know, for New York City...
I think
City,
that'd be a great idea.
One of the things she does is she's an actress in New York City, and she's a conservative. Can you imagine how rare that is?
That cannot be.
She is the host of the weekly Real Talk radio show in New York City, writes a column for ClashDaily.com, and she handles Middle East, national security, terrorism, and cultural issues. She also is a contributor on BarbedWire.com, and you can hear her radio show on the Leading Edge Radio Network on the interwebs. And she, like I said, she's an active member of the New York City performing arts community. As a singer and an actor, she is Audrey Russo. Audrey, welcome to the American Adversaries.
Hi. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. Thanks for joining us. Now, the piece that I'm reading was from Clash Daily, which is a website Doug Giles has set up. First, tell us what Clash Daily is about. What's their take on life?
Oh, my. Really, it's extremely cutting edge. Doug is a wild man, good wild man, cutting edge. Everything you need to know that's going on, whether it's here or abroad, Doug's covering it, and so are we. He calls us the Clashers, so columnists.
I see there's a banner ad at the Clash Daily headline about a book he wrote. The book is called, guys, you'll like this, Rise, Kill, and Eat.
Yeah.
A theory of hunting, a theology of hunting from Genesis to Revelation. And you know, people have been just savaged on the internet, Instagram, on Twitter, for posting pictures of themselves with animals they've allegedly killed. The foreword of the book is by Ted Nugent, so I got to get me a copy of that book.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, well, sure. They've actually had death threats against them. Women that are hunters have had death threats against them because they're hunting animals.
And as we know, Steven Spielberg got death threats for killing that Triceratops. How stupid can liberals
be? Hey, they're endangered.
Yes. Endangered species.
Yeah, right.
Now, Audrey, tell me, what prompted you to put this piece out? No way, freedom will never be found at Islam's address.
Oh, well, listen, I write a lot about Islam. I am, this is one draconian ideology that covers the entire system. I mean, it really gives you, as I said in the piece, a virtual colonoscopy. It is a very anal religion. It's not really a religion. It's a political system cloaked or burqa'd in religion. And this is, well, if we look at since 9/11, there have been 23,500 deadly terror attacks committed by, not moderate Muslims, because there really are no moderate Muslims. There are good Muslims and bad Muslims, according to Islam. Good Muslims are the ones that are committing these acts. The bad Muslims are the ones that are not, because they're not following the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sunnah. So, there we have it.
And matter of fact, this goes all the way back to the precepts, the founding of Islam. You know, Muhammad lived in a free and open society, as it were. You know, there was all kinds of capitalism going on around him. There was partying and dancing and all the things that he didn't like, he outlawed with Islam. And it is, you're absolutely right. It's not a religion as much as it is an ideology and a way to organize society. And even though they say that it is tolerant, it is anything but tolerant. And I think that that's really what's at the root of your article here, is it not?
Absolutely. What the mistake a lot of people make, and it really doesn't take much to find this out, the mistake they make is that the ones that call themselves moderate, and I'd say about 75%, according to Bridget Gabriel, about 75% of the world Muslim community, or the Ummah, they consider themselves moderate because most of them have not read the Quran. So they are either born into it or forced into it. But of course, they're now following, as the devout Muslims are, who are the ones that are doing all the slaughtering, the violent ones in the world. And so we have a very serious problem, and it's growing. And sometimes people need, sadly, I know people are busy, but sometimes you need things spelled out. So that's why I said, let's take things like, enjoying a BLT. We're free to do that here.
Right.
We're free to do that in the West.
Now, Orthodox Jews say BLTs are not good,
yes, but
they don't try to make the rest of the world follow those laws.
Well, you're talking to someone who was brought up as a Jew. Okay. You can choose not to, but you'll never find a Jew that's going to try to get you fired because you offered them a ham sandwich. It's different. It's a very violent and hostile response. I mean, there have been some people didn't even know. I mean, there's been stories out of the UK where people didn't know that someone was Muslim and then asked them if they would like, bacon on their sandwich, and then they had them fired. Now, come on. What kind of response is that? Is that tolerant?
In fact, there are some United States cities with fast food restaurants that are taking bacon and sausage off their menus because they might possibly, I'm serious, because they might possibly offend a Muslim who enters a restaurant.
Yeah, it's absurd. But sadly, the media and, major media and our political leaders, either one, they don't get it, and they don't want to get it, because then they'll have to be responsible for what they know, or they do get it, and they're ignoring it for other reasons.
Hey, Audrey, this is Carl here. You somewhat answered my question, but I like to get a general take from you as far as women are concerned. Why do you believe there's not more American women like you that are speaking out against Islam, whether they're Democrat or Republican? What's your take on that?
Which is no doubt a misogynistic ideology.
Oh, well, all you have to do is look at the founder. When they try to accuse the Christians of things, look at the founder of Islam.
Muhammad.
He was clearly a pedophile. He was a misogynist. He basically made his, where he said it was coming from Allah, magically it came from Allah when he decided to change things. Everything is against women. Everything is against women. Now, why are women? Well, I'll tell you, most of them are ill-informed. They have access, even if you don't have a personal computer, which most everyone does in this country, there's the library if you're not informing yourself. Inform yourself. Most women don't keep it informed. They don't want to know. They're not really either interested. They don't want to know. Now, if we're talking about groups like Now, they're not interested. They don't really care. If it doesn't have to do with abortion or gay rights, they're not really interested.
You see
how quiet they were with Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they see the enemy as something different than Islam. They see the enemy as, Republicans and conservatives. They want to take away their contraception.
Yes.
They want to, have declared war on women and that sort of thing. And I just want to emphasize what you said about Muhammad. Muhammad was an antisocial person. He was basically a lazy, he was illiterate, and he didn't want to work. So he would go hang out in the caves by himself. And that's where he came up with Islam. And basically, he outlawed everything that he didn't like, that he didn't participate in. I'm serious.
That's hysterical. But
that's exactly what he did. He didn't like drinking. He didn't like smoking. He didn't like dancing. So guess what? He outlaws them. right?
All right.
And so it's an ideology that is based on basically ignorance and intolerance at its very root and core.
Selfishness.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
Absolutely.
It is intolerance at its root. Exactly.
Yeah. Audrey Lehr here. I've got a question for you. Have you received death threats? And
well,
how many?
Yeah, we're envious because one of our colleagues here gets them, and we don't.
My friend Doug Giles is a very gracious man, and they monitor. I don't look at the comments, and he has said that there's been threats. And as a matter of fact, there was and CARE has not particularly been a fan of any of my writing.
Sure,
I wouldn't think so.
They tried to get a piece removed from a radio website in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And they were complaining about it, and then they declared victory, only to discovered that the site said, that, excuse me, the station said, we never took it down. They were telling their followers in Baltimore, CARE,
yeah,
that they had a victory and my piece was taken down. So
And by the way, you mentioned that there are no moderate Muslims. Even Muslims who think that they are moderate and because they're ignorant of the Quran, they are being used by the extremists because they participate in groups that actually support the extremists and what the extremists are up to. And so they can be used and manipulated just as easily, only to later on down the line find out that they'll be surprised at the realities as well. But the extremists, you don't have to look any further than what ISIS is doing in Iraq to find proof of Audrey, of your article.
Yeah, very tragic, but it's true. Or what Boko Haram just did, as a matter of fact,
Nigeria,
in northern Nigeria. Yeah, what they did now, they invaded another Christian town and killed 100 people. This is the fruit of Islam. This is it. What happens with a lot of moderate Muslims? What they I don't believe in moderate Muslims, but they want to call themselves that. Okay, should I say non-slaughtering Muslims? I don't know. So moderate Muslims is that they're looking at the pre-Medina verses as opposed to the post-Medina verses.
Right.
The pre-Medina was before he approached the Jews and the Christians to tell them he was a prophet of God. When the Jews rejected that and the Christians rejected it, then you had the post-Medina verses, which are all extremely violent, extremely hateful, and kill them wherever you find them.
Right.
That's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah, he tried to proselytize, and when that didn't work, he said, well, okay, well, I'll just take up the sword. And then he teamed up with Wahhabi Muslims who had existed before Islam, who were a warrior sect, and they went around conquering people, forcing them to adhere to Islam. And they went as far as Spain in the Ottoman Empire and all that. So it's a very potent force, and it is determined to conquer the world, and nothing less will it settle for. Listen, Audrey, we got to take a break, but will you come back and join us for another segment?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, and we're talking with Audrey Russo. She's the host of Real Talk Radio, a radio show, and she's also written an article called No Way, Freedom Will Never Be Found at Islam's Address. If you have a question for her, 407-774-8255 is the number.
Check her stuff out at clashdaily.com or search her on Facebook, Audrey Russo. She friended us. You should friend her.
We'll be right back. All right, we got a tough gal on the show with us tonight, and that would be Audrey Russo. And she's written an article entitled, No Way, Freedom Will Never Be Found at Islam's Address. Nostra Dennis has the next question for you, Audrey.
Yeah, Audrey, I'm going to steer the conversation a little bit away from your piece and to you particularly. I'm wondering if, as a singer and actor in New York City, which is a tough market to succeed in, and as your writing illustrates, you're a little bit conservative in nature, and I'm wondering if that has ever gotten you into trouble or maybe even cost you work.
Why do you think I'm doing radio?
Yeah, but see, we have, all of us here have a face for radio. You don't.
Oh, you're very kind. No, yes, it has cost me dearly, but I love this country too much not to tell the truth. And I won't do it for a career. So, you know, the only ones that will hire me to do work are people who basically are not involved in politics or, and that's obviously outside of New York. And there's a few of us in conservatives in New York City. We meet at least monthly.
In a phone booth.
Yes.
And now they don't make phone booths anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but this I love this country too much. Has been done too much, too many lives I do, you know, as much work as I can for veterans and veteran organizations. We could never repay them enough for what they have done, and I want to do my part now. So I think everyone that's alive now, you know, if you haven't had the opportunity to serve, then you can do something to preserve the liberty we have. And so it's our turn now. That's how I look at it.
Carl, you had a great question while we were in the break about Israel.
Yeah, Audrey, this is Carl again. I'm wondering why I'm a Christian and I'm listening to you as a Jewish woman. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from California. I get so frustrated because I will stick up for the Jewish people as a Christian. I believe that you guys are God's chosen people. It bothers me so much that there aren't more Jews like you that seem to support Israel and conservatism. Why is that?
That's a very big question.
I was going to say, if you can answer that question, I got some lottery tickets I want you to fill out for
funny,
me.
That's funny. There's a lot of answers for that question, many of those that are on the left that are Jewish, especially in New York City, there's very few conservative Jews in New York City. Many of them on the left basically are not fans of Israel. Many of them support J Street. They think, some of them are deceived enough to think that they are supporting Israel, but a lot of it has to do with ignorance. A lot of it, many of them believe that, and that's why they're part of the Democrat Party, which now is so completely leftist, it's incredible. I mean, it's not, you know, they like to drop names like JFK, but I don't think that he would be a Democrat today.
I hardly think so. Yeah, and certainly he was one of the more conservative presidents of the last half of the 20th century, and that includes Reagan and Nixon. I believe he was more conservative in his policy making than Richard Nixon. He believed in big tax cuts. He believed in a strong military. He wanted us to be on the leading edge in the space race. He believed in American exceptionalism.
Exactly.
He was a great conservative, only he was a Democrat.
Only he was a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
Which would make him, he'd have to flip parties now.
Yeah.
If he were alive. You're just not going to. Actually, I am a Messianic Jew, is what I am, so I'm both. So I'm,
oh, great.
Yeah, so I'm hated by a lot of people.
So now even the Jews can hate you.
Yes, everybody, equal opportunity hatred, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
I have to say, Audrey, I'm impressed about what you said about, you know, your work in New York there and why you would rather, you know, be on the right side of the argument, so to speak, than the right side of the dollar sign. And do you feel as we do around here? I know Larry and I have this opinion when we started this show that we're in, and I don't know if we actually have ever said it in this word, but I think we're living in revolutionary times. In other words, times again akin to the beginning of this country, where there are huge things at stake, and it's a huge pivotal point in history. And if we mess this up, we're going to lose the greatest gift we've gotten from God, other than Israel, which is the United States of America.
I couldn't concur more on that. It's in the air. I'll tell you what I get fueled up on is HBO's John Adams and Turn. I don't know if anybody has watched the first season of that, but we have that aroma in the air.
Revolutionary War. Some of the guys here aren't familiar with Turn, but it's about the Revolutionary War and the first spy raid.
What came on after Sleepy Hollow?
Yeah. And Audrey, you're right, because people are lining up on different sides and they're not bending. They're holding their principles and they're butting heads over it.
Absolutely. And the difference here is some are on the side of freedom. And I'd say it's very grassroots when it comes to freedom. And some are not. And we have done, the American people, I think, you know, either out of ignorance or apathy or distraction, have allowed our representatives to now give us, we're in a mindset where we serve them. We're not serfs.
Yeah.
I have to remind my listeners every week, they work for us. This is not England, you know, when the king was there.
Oh, okay. Right.
Well, this is, we're not under a king, although maybe Obama believes that. But the representatives are not, they'll have little mini fiefdoms. They serve us. But the mindset is like this. And this is what, and people are becoming angry, and that's why we have the various tea parties, but it's all grassroots.
Yeah. Well, the irony of liberalism and progressivism is they, being secularists, they go along with Islam because it's anti-American, anti-capitalist, and that sort of thing. So they're in bed with them. They're fine with that. And, of course, the irony there is they're going to be the first ones who are going to suffer under Sharia law, right?
Right, exactly.
Another irony, however, is that the liberals, they're working without really understanding what is at stake here. They think that they're working toward freedom, but actually liberalism and progressivism, that ideology itself is anti-freedom.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I say that is because, you know, John Paul Stevens, the former Supreme Court justice, has come out. He's written a new book called Six Amendments, Why and How and Why We Should Change the Constitution. And basically his Six Amendments require state employees to work for the federal government, kind of what you're talking about, not them working for us, but them working for the government. And he also wants to do away entirely with the Second Amendment and pare back on the First Amendment.
Yeah.
I mean, the two very amendments that really undergird our liberties. Without those two, if they are weakened at all, we have no liberty. And so they're working toward the same end, and ironically, they're going to suffer for it.
Absolutely. That's why they have no problem with Sharia law.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah. Nostradamus had one last point before we let you go here.
Yeah, I think my takeaway after reading your piece, it's on Clash Daily, it's called No Way, Freedom Will Never Be Found at Islam's Address. So that coexist bumper sticker I have on the back of my Ford Taurus, should I rip it off or just cover it up?
Cover it up. Send him one. Yes. Do you have any decals, Audrey? Send him one. We'll make sure he sticks it on that.
Yeah, they it's incompatible with we know that with democracy. Yet for some reason, on the left, either, you know, they're working, in concert with Islamists.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have no problem. And on the right, sadly, we have a virus that's taking the spines away from our representatives.
Yeah.
So we have a cowardice on our side that will not stand up to it. And I won't even get into, you know, the fact that they will not move on anything, not even Obamacare, because they're afraid of being called racist.
Okay.
It's insane.
Audrey, it's been sweet. How sweet it's been. But we got to take a break, and we'll have to let you go tonight. But we're going to get you back, and we'll keep a watch on Clash Daily to see what you've been up to, okay?
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
As for us as well.
Have a great night.
All right.
You too. Bye.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to the American Adversaries Live.
No giving sorry. The answer here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Carl Jackson sitting in studio with Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Jeff Sinis behind the glass. And this is the moment in time that you've all been waiting for, the time where conservatives get to act like liberals and get free stuff.
It's not exactly free.
Okay.
Well, you got to work for it a little bit.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
All right, it is time for our Who Said That contest tonight, folks. And don't forget, our Who Said That contest is always sponsored by Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, where food is not a commodity. It is a passion. And guess what? They have banquet facilities there, fine dining, casual dining, full bar, takeout. If you'd like to make a reservation, 407-774-8080 is the number over there. And make sure you say hello to Pasquale when you go in there and tell him that you heard about him on the American Adversaries. That's 407-774-8080 for Cafe Positano. You will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano if you get the right answer tonight, and a My Liberty Threads American Made, American Proud t-shirt. And that's, of course, compliments of MyLibertyThreads.com, and you can go there to MyLibertyThreads.com and order your own t-shirts and get a $3 discount simply by entering in the code AAR2014. AAR2014 will get you that discount at MyLibertyThreads.com. Now, we got a little bit of a twist on the contest tonight. Normally, we read a quote and ask you to call up and tell us who said it. Well, tonight, I'm going to tell you who the person is who said the quote. I'm going to tell you the question that they were asked to elicit the quote, and then it'll be up to you to tell me what the quote is.
Now, it doesn't have to be verbatim word for word.
I will take it as long as it's the gist of the quote. Yes, it may not have to be verbatim, but you got to get the gist of it. This may be a good opportunity to be the first caller with a guess, because who knows? Somebody there may not be a correct answer tonight. And if no one gets it right, the first person to make a stab at it will be declared the winner, because we want to give those prizes. We want to be good liberal government types and give those things away, as Carl says. All right, so let's see what we can do here. So I'm going to tell you who said it and what they were responding to, and then you tell me what this person said. The person is Muhammad Ali, right? The big boxing champ. Muhammad Ali, when asked, "Champ, what do you think of Africa?" What did he say? When Muhammad Ali was asked, when upon his return from Zaire, which I think was the rumble in the jungle, wasn't it? Wasn't that the rumble in the jungle? All right, well, on his return from Africa, from Zaire, he was asked, "Champ, what did you think of Africa?" What did Muhammad Ali say? If you think you know, or you want to take a stab at it, 407-774-8255 is the number. And just come on, give us a try. "Champ, what did you think of Africa?" That's what they asked Muhammad Ali upon his return from Zaire. What did he say? Give us a call and let us know what you think. I want to go back to this Malaysian Airlines being shot, or airliner being shot down. It's quite clear, and pretty much John Kerry said as much this morning. We now know that this was a missile system that was provided by the Russians to the separatist rebels, that it requires a good deal of sophistication to operate, which, is, by the way, is what John Casey said on our show Thursday when this story first broke. And it just turns out, you know, John Casey, the scientist, Larry, it turns out when he was in the Army, he was a missile defense systems operator. Mm. Oh, so he would have operated this type system. And he says it did not just any old body can sit down and you know, hit the go button.
Well, according to one of the news people, they're saying that they actually know the Russian general's name. That kind of helped them say, well, yeah, you aim it like this and you press that, but yeah.
There's a good deal of... Don't worry about the wreckage site. I mean, it's a tragedy, what's going on with the handling the bodies.
Black box won't help anything.
None of that stuff, yeah. The only thing that would do is confirm what they already know. And basically, they have confirmation. And so it's pretty well known how this all transpired. What I want to focus on is the reaction to it, the reaction to it by the Obama administration, and then I want to compare that to the reaction that Ronald Reagan had when the Korean airliner flight 007 was shot down by a Soviet MiG fighter jet. And but before we do that, I want to go to the phone line because we have Sherry from Castleberry on line one, who thinks she knows what the champ said when he was asked, "What did you think of Africa?" Sherry, thanks for calling tonight. How you doing?
I'm fine. Hi, Chris.
Hey, doing really well. And John's back in the studio tonight, so I'm looking forward to listening to his show. I hope you'll join as well.
Oh, you know I will.
He's going to have John Micah on the show, of all folks. All right. Anyway,
Larry, glad you're back. We missed you.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. I appreciate that, sweetie. And by the way, my mom's doing better.
Good, 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 good.
Okay, so what did Muhammad Ali say upon his return from Zaire when he was asked what he thought of Africa?
Well, I heard this years ago, and I don't know what the whole thing of it was said, but if I'm not right, then it'll at least put somebody on the line to getting the right answer, okay?
All right.
He made a comment... because he didn't really like what he saw when he went over to Africa.
Yep.
He made a comment that he sure was glad his great-great-great-great-grandpappy had gotten on that boat to come to America.
Nearly, word for word. Nearly, perfect.
He said, "Thank God my great-granddaddy got on that boat."
As a slave.
As a slave, indeed.
I saw that about 4, 5, 6 years ago on a documentary or something.
Yeah, you know, he was a smart man. He is a smart man, I should say.
He didn't like what he saw. And for the first time in his life, he realized... you know, what it was like to be an American.
That's exactly right. He thought he had it bad over here. By the way, he grew up in a middle-class neighborhood in Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, he never really had it rough. And he was a smart kid. He was very well educated. His parents saw to that. And but he, you know, he became a Muslim because it was the political thing to do. But then he went to Africa. And he saw how they were living in Africa. And this was in the 70s.
I know. Sometimes on not even a dollar a day.
Yeah, exactly. And he saw the poverty and the life expectancy of those folks over there and how that they lived. I mean, living in, on dirt floors.
Look how his daughters has lived.
Absolutely,
you know,
right.
Family, you know,
he was... I'm sorry.
We're good here.
Yeah, exactly right. He was smart enough to understand that his granddaddy might have suffered, but that he was benefiting from that suffering.
Yeah.
And there's no question about that. And that seems to be lost on the majority of the black population. But he got it right. And,
not Carl.
Yeah, not Carl. And Dinesh D'Souza has that in his book. So he got it right as well. And
Have they sent those books out yet?
I'm on them about that. I got an email from one of our other winners who had not received her book yet.
Oh,
so
I'm not impatient or anything.
Well,
I just, you know,
you shouldn't have to wait that long.
Get my mail, you know, and I, or you know, somebody could have driven by my mailbox and.
I don't think that's what it is. They had to come from the publisher, and we had to send them the information all at once. So we had to, you know, get all the winners first, and then we sent them the information.
Well, I'm getting a good preview of the book anyway.
You must be listening to that soap opera.
If you listen long enough, you don't even need to buy the book. Chris will read it to you.
Oh no, we're going to wrap that up at the end of this week, but there'll be a lot of good stuff left on the editing room floor, that's for sure. But it's a fantastic book, and I know you're going to enjoy reading it, Sherry.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those books you just can't put down. But anyway, you're absolutely right, and thank you for participating in the contest, and hopefully you'll spend that $20 gift card on a night when we're over at Cafe Positano so I can get a chance to meet you.
Okay.
All right.
I want to meet all you guys.
And we want to meet you, too, like Lair got the opportunity. All right. So
I'll hold on.
Okay. Yeah, get with Jeff and get your shirt size. I want to make sure I get that right. And thank you for playing the contest tonight.
Chris, one thing.
Yeah.
I know you get a T-shirt. The guy that does the T-shirt, is he sending those ones that say, when is it my time to be offended?
Is that the one you want?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see what we can do.
Okay.
All right, you got it. All right, thank you, Sherry. We appreciate it. We love you being out there.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. And you know, there's a new book out by Jason Riley, who's a writer, I believe, for the Wall Street Journal. And he
That's
said,
correct.
What's the title of that book I just handed? It said, would you please stop helping me or something
like
that?
Yeah, stop helping us or something like that.
Exactly. And it's sort of in the same vein of I think, a bit of Muhammad Ali here, because a lot of, I believe, let me word this carefully here. Not that I'm worried about offending anybody, but I just want to make sure that it's understandable. I believe that a lot of liberals, the way they look towards the black community is they feel like it's their responsibility out of guilt to do something for them. And unfortunately, and I'm talking about the good-natured ones now, right? Not the ones who are just simply trying to manipulate peoples. But I'm talking about the liberals who really want to help the black community. They are doing it out of sense of guilt. And that is the worst reason to help anybody out at all, because it clouds your judgment. It clouds your thinking. And black people don't need our help. They need us to stop helping them. That's what Jason Riley said. And in essence, that's kind of what Muhammad Ali is saying here. He's saying, my granddaddy came over here and gave me a great life. I don't need, you know, to feel like I was mistreated because my grandfather was a slave. I am benefiting from that.
How did that great welfare experiment turn out?
Exactly, exactly. All right, when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I want to more clearly compare the reaction of President Obama and Ronald Reagan, who had a similar situation with the downing of flight KAL-007. All right, welcome back to the show, folks, where we're slinging around Tutti Frutti's left and right here in the studio. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, Carl Jackson, and with Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight. We are the American Adversaries, and we are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer Now. That's right, folks, we are back up on the big stick. So if you've been listening on 1520 WBZW and would prefer to go down to AM 660, The Answer, you can take that opportunity right now. And while I welcome folks who have been listening to the Rays postgame show on AM 660, The Answer. And I want to thank you for listening, and hopefully you'll stick around and listen to the American Adversaries. If you've never heard the show before, I hope that you'll stay and that you will like it. And thanks for listening to AM 660, The Answer. All right, we are live. We'll be here until 8 o'clock, at which time we'll hand off the ball here on AM 660, The Answer, to Mark Walters with Armed Radio, Armed American Radio. He will take you live until 11 o'clock. Or you can do like me, and you can spin up the dial to our sister station, WTLN 950, and listen to the John Butler Book Show. Tonight he'll be live, and he'll have John Micah on the show. Congressman Micah, of course, is running in District 7, and he's got a couple of Republican opponents in the primary, one of whom, of course, is David Smith and Don Orlick. And David's my favorite, but John will be on John's show. And that'll be live from 8 until 9 o'clock. And you'll be welcome to call that show as well. But in the meantime, our show is the only game in town. 407-774-8255 is the number. And if you were listening to the Rays postgame show, you just missed out on our Who Said That contest tonight, where we sort of twisted it around and we played What He Said. In other words, I gave you a quote, I gave you the person who was Muhammad Ali, and the question he was asked, which was when he came back from Zaire, Africa, and the rumble in the jungle, he was asked, champ, what did you think of Africa? And we looked for the response, and our dear friend Sherry of Castleberry got it right. She said that he said, thank God my great-great-granddaddy got on that boat. In other words, was brought here as a slave. And you know, if only more black people had that opinion, I think they would be so much better off in life. You know, Carl, I look at you, and really, you're a success story. You really are. You're in the middle class. You've made your own way in life. You've got your own business. You had some rough going in the early years. You had to make, you know, you had crossroads in your life, and you eventually made the right choices, and you do this because you aren't in that victimhood mentality.
Sure.
And it's that victimhood mentality that holds so many people back and holds them down. It's almost worse than being physically chained.
Yeah, you know what? I absolutely agree with that. And there was a mental shift for me. For me, it was my Christianity, my faith. I feel like God really started opening my eyes to things I just didn't understand before on a spiritual level. And then I started reading. I started reading about American history. I started reading more of the Bible. And then as a result of that spiritual awakening, I started reading on the practical implications of why the Constitution is important, why the rule of law is so important. And then I started reading up on the history of slavery and blacks. And I tell you what, one thing I'd love to do, if there's a sponsor listening that would love to support this show and to support a new business of mine, because what I do is I take black Democrats on a tour to parts of Africa and bring them back so that we could change their vote. I'd love to have a business like that.
Do you tell them when you take them over there that you're not bringing them back?
A little travel agency.
No, but I will tell them it's a seven-day survival skills. I'll wait till I get there.
All right. Okay, as I said on our show Friday, I was inspired by Orange County Sheriff Jerry Demings. A proclamation of Friday being a day of inspiration in tribute to our dear friend Ed Ganster of Operation Safety 91, who passed away recently. I was inspired to come on the show Friday and talk about how one of the big things that we're lacking in the United States right now is inspiration. Jerry Demings said this, and I'm saying this too, because this is something that we so dearly need from our leaders if we are to truly be led in the right direction. They need to be inspirational. And inspiration, if it's hollow, like hope change inspiration that Barack Obama, you know, preached in 2008, when it's hollow, it ends up being, it's beyond disappointing. It brings you to the point of despair.
And when those who buy into that hopey changey thing and then find out that it rings false, that makes them angrier and more alienated than ever.
Right. It makes them apathetic and want to and in a state of despair. And that's why it is important for leaders to be inspirational. But to be inspirational, you have to have true core convictions. You have to truly believe in what you believe to be right. And I don't believe that Barack Obama does. He to me, he's a lost soul. You know, he may have a very smart, intelligent brain, but if you don't have the core convictions to go with it, it's worthless. It's like spinning your wheels.
You know, Chris, I tell you the truth. I didn't agree with that statement at first, but I absolutely do now. I used to believe that he was so calculated and so brilliant. But after a while, you start realizing that I'm not sure, except for this fantasy ideology of progressivism, I think he's attached himself to that, and that's all he knows. But even if you go back and read some of the excerpts from Dreams of My Father, this was a man that struggled with the fact that he was biracial, and he didn't know what to think, he didn't know how to think, he didn't know what to feel. And it's almost as if, okay, he has this progressive ideology on his mind, in his mind, and he just kind of floats along and goes along to get along, in a sense, with those that he knows, you know, will be in favor of him. I'm honestly thinking he does some of this for his legacy's sake, not just for the sake of legacy, but because he's searching for an approval that he hasn't got from his dad.
That's why I don't believe his book. I don't believe he wrote it.
Well, he says in his book that these were the people I could fit in with, these radicals, leftists.
Well, to what Carl said, Ed Klein writes about that very thing in his book, how he sought out a woman like Michelle who berates him, who speaks down to him, who criticizes him, who won't sleep with him, because he was looking for approval from a figure that he thought would be worthy of. If that approval came from that person, it would mean something. You follow what I'm trying to say here?
Absolutely.
So we're coming from his mother.
And let me even say this. This is something that's very well known in the black community. Light-skinned black men typically date, more than likely, very dark-skinned women. And there's a reason for it. Unfortunately, it's sad, but it's true. You go into black communities and you're light-skinned, you're biracial, oftentimes you're teased, you will always see, it's almost 100% of the time, you will see light-skinned men always with darker women, because they've gotten teased. They want to prove that they're black.
And in Obama's case, this was not an accident. This was deliberate.
Right. See, he's trying to prove things to himself as much as anybody else.
I agree.
That's why I say he's lost. He's a lost soul in that sense. But the bad news is, of course, that comes out in his policy. He's just totally lost. And it's because he has no real core convictions. As he was developing, as he was struggling with his identity, he was basically being shuffled around from parent to grandparent, and he never really got those core convictions taught to him. And then when he was taught things from mentors, they were teaching him communism, which does not teach core convictions. It teaches relativism, which is the last thing that somebody who's lost needs to hear, right? Let me just read a little bit of the statement that Ronald Reagan gave to the nation and the world in the hours following the September 5th, 1983 downing of Korean Airlines Flight 007 by a Soviet Su-15 interceptor. I'm coming before you tonight about the Korean Airline massacre, the attack by the Soviet Union against 269 innocent men, women, and children aboard an unarmed Korean passenger plane. This crime against humanity must never be forgotten here or throughout the world. And make no mistake about it, this attack was not just against ourselves or the Republic of Korea. This was the Soviet Union against the world and the moral precepts which guide every human relations among people everywhere. It was an act of barbarism born of a society which wantonly disregards individual rights and the value of human life and seeks constantly to expand and dominate other nations. They deny the deed, but in their conflicting and misleading protestations, the Soviets reveal that, yes, shooting down a plane, even one with hundreds of innocent men, women, children, and babies, is a part of their normal procedure if that plane is in what they claim as their airspace. They owe the world an apology and an offer to join the rest of the world in working out a system to protect against this ever happening again. We know it will be hard to make a nation that rules its own people through force to cease using force against the rest of the world, but we must try. This is not a role we sought. We preach no manifest destiny, but like Americans who began this country and brought forth this last best hope of mankind, history has asked much of the Americans of our own time. Much we have already given, much more we must be prepared to give. Let us have faith in Abraham Lincoln's words, and he quotes Lincoln, that right makes might. And in that faith, let us to the end day to our to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. And then he goes on to say, if we do, if we stand together and move forward with courage, then history will record that some did come from this monstrous wrong that we will carry with us and remember for the rest of our lives. Does that sound like a man who says, what was it Obama said?
We're concerned.
Yeah. This is a man with conviction, not concern.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of...
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta admit, in honor of the WWE Battleground pay-per-view tonight, we had our own little fatal four-way to see who was going to introduce our very special guest, and I won. So, can you go ahead
an
and
illegal headlock?
And her music, it is my pleasure to introduce Sunny, our California girl. How you doing tonight, Sunny?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing excellent. How are things in California this evening?
Wonderful. You actually caught me in the middle of my hike. I didn't get back in time, so I'm here at a park, you know, and what? Everyone's just going to have to deal with my yelling on the radio. But it's beautiful. We've got squirrels and people.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And some of the people are squirrels.
Yeah, some of the people are very squirrely.
Squirrely.
Yeah, very squirrely.
Hey, what, really quickly, though, since you're out hiking, what's the weather like?
Oh, it's beautiful here. Perfect weather.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Perfect.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, so Sunny's having a beautiful L.A. day, so tell us what's happening in L.A. way.
Oh, my goodness. Well, where do we start first? Where do we jump
in at? First of all, you know, I want to, the Malaysian airliner that was shot down, obviously that must be dominating the news there.
It sure is. But before we get on that subject, as a heartfelt subject it is, we have another heartfelt subject of mine who's been in showbiz a heck of a lot longer than myself. And I like to say I had a crush on the man and grew up with him. And he was in my favorite movie, Notebook, who has passed away, James Garner. Forevermore will we love you. Rockford Files, Maverick, the list goes on. Wow.
Yeah. Well, he was amazing.
Support your local sheriff. Yeah.
You know, you're right. I think his best acting job was The Notebook.
Yes. Oh, by far.
Touching role.
Favorite.
Very touching role.
Yeah. He ran the gamut, too. Serious roles to the comedic roles. He was just a very, very good actor, and he worked with all the greats. And you know who said that he was his favorite? He was her favorite leading man. Doris Day.
Really?
Doris Day had worked with him in two movies, I think. She said he was her favorite of all the leading men that she worked with. And
he said
he was just a great guy. It was a lot of fun to be around. And, of course, he was a great actor.
And not to mention, we got to give him an extra big shout for you know, being married to the same woman for 60 years, that is something in itself to have that accomplishment in Los Angeles and be in showbiz alone.
Yeah. Well, I had heard today, Sonny, that he was found alone in his apartment. Is that correct? Did I hear something wrong?
I have not, I haven't confirmed that. He was found alone. I am not sure because he was, he had his family and his wife. I do believe that might be probably not true, but okay. I have to research that one.
Unless it was something very sudden and no one expected it.
I believe I saw it on the scroll or something.
All right. Well, nonetheless, it's a big loss. And
very, very big loss.
You knew him personally?
Yes, I was blessed to have met the man, I'd say, a handful of times, briefly. But we never, you know, we weren't chums, but the acquaintance was met. And also, he was just in our household, like I think everybody else is in my age and era, Maverick and all those old movies. We grew up with him, you know, so you might as well say he was a family member.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so to speak.
Yeah.
But Notebook was our big thing because my daughter and I have watched that movie. Gosh, I can only tell you how many times.
How many tears have you shed over that movie?
Oh, I know, right? And we want our life to be like that. That was just, you know, wow. If it was only that way in life. Unfortunately,
yes.
We have to go on to other crazy reality subjects that hit our world, and that would be the MH17, the crash. As of late, we have 233 bodies that were recovered and put into, I guess, refrigerated trailers locally.
I think three of them babies.
Yeah. They're loading up from the crash site. But as they're doing so, there's a lot of loiterers running in there and stealing credit cards and belongings. It's just disgusting on these bodies. They're milling through. It's just, that's just wrong. It's just plain wrong. As far as Americans that have been on the flight, they say 23 Americans thus far that they've came up with. As we know, it's still being investigated, and do we need to say the Russian rebels. How do you feel about that, guys? I think they are the ones responsible.
Well, it's certain.
110%.
Well, the Russian rebels are responsible for actually pulling the trigger, but the system came from Russia itself, and ultimately Vladimir Putin must share in the responsibility of this. But, you know, in those few seconds that you talked about it, you condemned the act even more so than our president has. The president should be, in my opinion, he should be on TV tonight making a statement to the United States and the world, saying basically what we know about this, and that this was brought on because of strife in that region being created by Vladimir and Putin, and we're not going to put up with it. And then he should list a number of things that he's going to do right now by executive action, if he will. For one, he could prevent Aeroflot from flying Russian flights into the United States like Ronald Reagan did after Korean Airlines flight 007 was shot down.
He could give the missiles that we promised to have over there.
Absolutely.
And he could show that there will be a price to play for this, that there would be a price to pay for this sort of barbarism. But he doesn't even stand up and condemn the fact that they're loading these bodies onto a refrigerated train car bound for Russia. They're not giving them back to the people, to give to their loved ones. And,
no, not to mention, they're messing with the evidence. Oh, my God, that's the worst. And so far what we've got is that the missile, actually the launcher, if you will, surface-to-air missile launcher, there was, I believe, one missing.
Well,
right there is incriminating the Russians. You know, Mr. Putin needs to man up, stand up, and take responsibility.
Putin,
because all those lives are gone, and that children on that plane, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, Putin's not the one who needs to man up.
Yeah.
Obama's the one who needs to man up and put the pressure on Putin.
And they shooed the investigators away from that crash site at the point of a gun. They fired warning shots saying, don't worry, we'll take it from here, nothing to see.
Yeah, well, it's basically when you have a lawless area of the world such as that, which is being instigated by a power like the Russians, the only solution is to go to the Russians and say, you are going to pay a price for this. And because you're not going to be able to get any results by dealing with the rebels, you have to go to their boss daddy and cut him off. And you need to cut Putin off, and they need to do it with real sanctions and do it regardless of what the Europeans want to do, whether the Europeans want to do it or not. Ronald Reagan Ronald Reagan never waited to be told by the Europeans how he should feel or react to something. He did it, and they followed him.
It's just like the old days, like the mob bosses. You cut out the middle, you go right to the head honcho.
If you want
their
results.
You cut their neck, you give them the tongue wrench, whatever. I don't know. Cut their throat. Because look at what Hamas and Israel are doing. It's sad to say that we've lost 13 soldiers in Israel.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it's brutal. Hamas is horrible. They're heartless people.
Yeah.
And if we were to do that, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Russia, wow, I can only say, but Obama's not going to.
Unfortunately,
Obama's the worst. He can't even make it to a top mob boss, even if he tried.
Well, you're
as a president. You know what I'm saying? And in all due respect.
And you just said what the rest of the world realizes, and that is that Obama's not really going to do anything.
Nope.
Excuse me. And therefore, the bad behavior is only going to compound itself and get worse and worse and worse until we do elect a president who will do something. And if that's in 2016, then we have a chance to change it then. If it doesn't happen.
I have to reiterate, that's going to be a woman, guys. Sorry. I don't know.
It depends on the woman. We might not be sorry.
Yeah.
I might be ducking and getting stoned at, because some people, it's my understanding, don't want Hillary there, but I do. It's about time we have a woman, and what other better woman would be Hillary, because she does have the background.
Well,
you get two for one. You get Clinton with her, you get more power to you on that end.
No, we're done with dynasties. We are done with dynasties.
You're picking a fight around here tonight. A lot of us would rather see Condoleezza Rice if there was to be a woman president. Condoleezza Rice, I believe, would be perhaps.
Can you tell me, Sonny? Can you tell me what Hillary Clinton has done? What great accomplishments?
You know what? One of her biggest accomplishments as a woman that I can say is that she stood tall behind her podium when Clinton did her, did his little thing with little Monica Lewinsky.
Well, every woman that's had a husband cheat on her did that.
My mom for president, all right? She did the same thing, just not behind a podium.
She didn't break down. She didn't even flinch.
Yeah, but that doesn't make her a political figure.
Well, she's
or a leader.
I don't think there's any question. By the way, I've been reading about her, and I've been reading excerpts of the book. It's called Blood Feud. It's by Ed Klein, and the blood feud is between the Clintons and the Obamas. He does talk in the book. She's a strong woman. She's a very strong managerial sort, which betrays her involvement in Benghazi. She knew much more about it than she's admitting. The problem that he says is that she is easy to anger, and that she doesn't have the political wherewithal that Bill Clinton himself does. In other words, without Bill Clinton, she probably wouldn't go very far because she doesn't have the same political skills as he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We get both of them, because don't you believe Bill isn't going to back her up if she becomes president. He's going to be right there in the forefront as much as she is. And, she does have that scorpion sting. I have that scorpion sting myself. we're both Scorpios. I'm just like her, one and the same in a certain aspect of life. But
wait a minute.
Speak her mind.
Wait a minute.
I don't see that temper with her at all. I really don't.
Well, but, now we do know a lot of people voted for Barack Obama because he's black. Are you saying people should vote for Hillary because she has a vagina?
No, I'm not saying that. But the JJ doesn't count in this.
Okay.
I just think.
Are you sure? As woman to woman now.
As I read her book and I'm getting to know more of the facets of it, not to discount the Benghazi situation, because I also believe we don't know the whole story.
Well, I will say this, and Ed Klein said this on our show the other day, she would make a better president than Barack Obama.
Thank you for saying that, Chris.
Let's move on while we just have a few minutes left.
Let's go on another sore subject that I just wish I could just blow down my ear. If I had a double-decker bus, I'd go to my lot myself. All right. Down there and drop them off over the border.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you about the illegals real quickly. Is the mayor and are the citizens of Murrieta still adamant, no illegals here? And how does the rest of California feel about their stance?
It's still that way. Of course, we're getting many protesters on both sides of the fence. You've got the ones that want them here, which, of course, they are the immigrants that are fighting for their people to get over here. And then we've got the other side that don't want them here. It's just the way it is. And then you've got the ones in the middle. They're like, well, maybe we should help. Maybe we shouldn't.
Are there any mayors, say, for instance, the mayor of San Francisco, who's just coming out and saying, hey, if Murrieta doesn't want them, send them up here?
Yeah, I believe that. That's probably still,
I mean, is that happening? Have you actually heard of any mayors saying, send those people here?
No. Okay. No, I haven't personally. No, yeah. I looked up the local. Well, this was a couple days ago, because currently what's on our news is nothing but,
the airline.
About the flight, of course. And also Israel, because that's just not looking good, guys.
That's
possible war zone, bigger war right there happening.
It's quite possible that flares up into something much larger.
It's not looking good.
So the immigration issue has pretty much fallen entirely off the screen in California then.
Yes, but there was, Jose Vargas, one of our rights advocate. I guess he won a Pulitzer. He's a journalist in this, and himself an immigrant. He was actually picked up at the border, and he did a movie on limbo status in the U.S., it's called. They have since released him. But he himself, Jose Vargas, was picked up, which I thought was funny.
Was he protesting?
There's endless immigrants still heading to the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. They're pushing their way through.
Was Vargas protesting in favor of the immigrants?
Yes.
He was?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I know that there are still drought conditions in California. Things are really bad there. What's it like? Are there water restrictions in Los Angeles that, say, for instance, affect you living in an apartment or in a building?
I've been blessed, guys, in my apartment building. But let me tell you, they're sending out like the people, what we call the grass people, the park police, to check on sprinklers. They have a price to pay if they're running their sprinklers through certain hours that it shouldn't be. I guess they get fined up to $500. They get several warnings first. Then they get slapped with that ticket. They see excess water running on their grass at a certain hour. Like, I guess it's 9 to 2. There's certain hours, and then there's restrictions. So if they see your sprinkler on, you're getting warned once, maybe twice. The third is going to be a high fine of $500.
Wow.
That's a pretty hefty fine. So, yeah, they're serious about the water here as well as they should be, because we did not see any rain. We've had cooler days here. It wants to rain, boy. That's nothing. It's a tease for us here. It's so gloomy in the morning. We're like, oh, yeah, looks like it's going to rain.
Yeah. It's
just like, darn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's terrible.
Okay. All right. Anything else real quickly before we let you go, Sonny?
I miss you guys, and I can't wait to get out there to that studio to see you guys.
Yeah, we
Let's
can't
go
wait
surfing.
Either.
I've been to the last 2 days. I'm dead.
But you got a wrestling match coming up in a week or so, don't you?
I do, next Saturday. I'm going to get back in the ring.
Against Thunderbolt.
Fun. Yes, Thunderbolt.
Is that there in California?
Good. Yes, it will be near LAX and STJ Studios. In fact, on my Facebook, you'll see one. I'm in the ring with Hollywood. And that was 4 years ago. We did that match.
Hey,
so,
well, I tell you what, you go in there and you bust her up. You hear?
You better believe it. I win too. Did I say that?
Get that hand raised.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing all about it next Sunday night.
Great. Thank you, guys, and have a terrific Sunday day in Florida, or should I say, almost evening over there?
Oh yeah.
All right. We'll do.
Okay. Peace out.
Good all night.
Right. That's Patricia Summerlin, Sunny, our California glow girl, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries, where every now and then we even discuss a bit of anatomy.
What?
I am Christopher Hart, along with Larry Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Johnny Guns. We're in the studio. Carl had to head on back home, but he's listening on the radio, and I hope you are as well.
Thanks for the brownies, Taylor.
Absolutely. Delicious brownies his daughter made
awesome.
For us. Absolutely. And Jeff Sinis is on the other side of the glass. Yeah, Nostra Dennis was saying that we don't have to worry about electing somebody somebody with one of them things that Lara was talking about.
Right, lady parts.
Yeah. we already did the last two elections.
You've seen him ride a bike? You know what I mean.
Here comes death threats.
I guess saying he has one is better than calling him one. So anyway. I want to go in a bit of a different direction here. Let me see.
Any direction would be a better direction, Chris. With 3 minutes left in this segment, you want to make sure you.
Oh man,
that's what we have WTF News for.
Oh, I want to say something.
All right, here's a heartwarming story for you. You know, with global warming, we were told how it was decimating the polar bear population,
and
right?
Redheads. Don't forget about redheads.
Redheads?
Yes, there will be fewer redheads because of global warming. Ask me how they got to that, but they did.
Now, I didn't hear that one, but let's go back.
Can I get fewer gray hairs with
guys,
global warming?
You keep wanting to go to the women stuff. Okay.
Let's go there. Where are the women's stories at?
All right. Let's go back to the polar bears first, all right? We were told that the polar bear population was being decimated by global warming.
Sure.
The ice melting, and they were had to, you know.
And they were drowning because they suddenly forgot how to swim,
you know. Well, it turns out, in fact, the opposite is true. The polar bear population is bigger than at any time it's been studied.
They lied to us?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there are Canadian scientists who have been studying the polar bear population since the 1950s.
Yes.
Continually.
Yes.
And the herds, or the incidence of polar bears, they don't travel in herds, but the numbers of polar bears are bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's more of them things around than ever before.
Like the Florida alligator that they screwed up the count on.
All right. Well, what about the Arctic? Now, that's the Arctic. How about the Antarctic? Because we were told that the same thing would happen to the penguin population. Were we not? Well, the evidence is in, and guess what?
There's more penguins
than ever before. All right, let me just read a little bit of this article. Actually, came out a little over a week ago, Friday the 11th. It's in the Wall Street Journal, entitled "Antarctic Penguins Thrive." Let me just read you a couple of paragraphs. Rather than declining as feared due to warming temperatures that altered their habitats in some areas, the Adelie population of penguins generally is on the rise. The scientists said.
Adelie is how you pronounce it.
Is Adelie. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lair. Delhi penguins. What we found surprised everyone, said ecologist Heather Lynch at Stony Brook University in Stony Brook, New York, who led the penguin census. We found a 53% increase in abundance globally. 53% increase. All right. Counting the birds by satellite, Dr. Lynch and imaging specialist Michelle LaRue at the University of Minnesota found that the Adelie that the Adelie penguin population now numbers 3.79 million breeding pairs, about 1.1 million more pairs than 20 years ago. In all, they identified 251 penguin colonies and surveyed 41 of them for the first time, including 17 apparently new colonies. They found 8 abandoned colonies, but what they discovered was they moved up the road. And now they have bigger colonies. There are more of the doggone birds than ever. If global warming is happening, bring it on, more of it.
I'm going to go get my penguin gun right now. We're going to be overrun. Protect yourselves.
You know, they are very stinky birds.
WTF, guys. I mean, WTF.
Amen.
That's all I have to say. Well, okay, I have more to say about that. Actually, folks, the reason I didn't want to bring anything obscene in here, but the reason I said that is because this next segment always gets me excited, a little confused, but that's a good thing. And that would be Johnny Guns, because he has a way with WTF. And here he is to let us have it.
I've got to do an extra special good job tonight because I see
that nice intro.
I see right in front of Lair Adams. There's a big old knife.
That's not a knife. Oh yeah,
oh,
it is.
That's a knife. That's a knife, all right. Pointed right at me.
It is, and I just use it to cut brownies.
Okay. All right. Can we agree that the selfie craze is out of control? Can we just
all
agree on that?
Social media.
I mean, Carl Jackson texts me bathroom selfies of himself every day.
Oh, he's so just bragging.
Carl!
But now, you can eat your selfie.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Careful how you say that.
Thanks to the Vermont Novelty Toaster Corporation in St. Johnsbury, Vermont,
They have a new line of toasters that allow customers to take a selfie and then have that image burned onto a piece of toast. The company on its website says you don't have to be famous or Jesus to have your face on toast. Give us a high-resolution photo of a face or pet and let our toast engineers create fun breakfast memories. And of course, those memories last about a minute or two and go great with margarine or peanut butter. The toasters retail for $75 and they ship free of charge.
Ah, like the old, what was it, the bake ovens, the girl,
easy
little
bake,
girls?
Yeah. Easy
bake
ovens.
Easy bake ovens.
Like
yeah.
But so, you couldn't do your selfie on there.
So if you can't get a gay wedding cake from a bakery, you could take a picture and eat toast every day with a bakery.
Actually, it's kind of a cross between that and the old creepy crawlers things. Remember those?
Yeah, vaguely.
You remember the creepy crawler? Did you ever do the creepy crawler?
Oh, yeah, you made the bugs.
No.
Yes. You made the bugs out of plastic. Put them in the thing.
Yeah. Mold.
And you mold them and they heat up.
Yeah, creepy crawlers.
You guys if that toast, the toast you were talking about, Dennis, I'd be afraid it would eat itself.
You never know, it might.
Okay.
All right, story number two. I imagine there will be a lot of those when is it my turn to be offended t-shirts at this rally.
Okay.
Flyers advertising an event called the Straight White Guy Festival have started to show up in an Ohio park that usually hosts gay pride events. According to the Flyers, the festival will take place in Goodale Park in Clintonville, Ohio this September. According to the Flyer, beer will be available! I'm thinking about going now. However, it is unclear if the event is really taking place or not, because the city doesn't have any permits on file for the festival at this point. Some people, even if this is a hoax, are finding the message behind the festival not so funny. Same-sex marriage advocate Michael Permo told TV 10 in Clintonville, Ohio, quote, "This kind of thing implies that there is some kind of struggle going on for being a single white person. Straight white people are doing just fine." Oh, really?
Yeah. Talk to me.
If straight white guys are doing just fine, then why are my Friday nights spent alone on the floor of my condo watching infomercials and eating Cheetos?
All right.
We're going to end number three here. Story number three with a little question here. No one wants drones shooting them, right?
No one wants what?
Drones.
Oh, I thought
drone shooting them?
Yeah.
I'd prefer not.
Thought he said drunks.
Well, I don't want that either.
Hold on there a second, because it seems that some people do want drones shooting them, and they're paying for it. A new kind of commercial drone phenomenon has taken off in the United States. People are using small quadcopter drones to shoot photos and videos for their weddings. Just last month, a congressman used a drone to record his own wedding and is now under investigation by the FAA because the agency has a ban on drone flights for commercial purposes. But don't expect any charges to be filed because he sits on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Aviation Subcommittee, which oversees the FAA.
Did Micah just get married?
Now, despite
he's been married a long time.
Yeah, that's what
to
I
the
thought.
Same woman.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Despite a flood of complaints in recent months from groups in favor of using drones for commercial purposes, the FAA this month reiterated its position that operating drones to film property or an event is illegal if the purpose is commercial. The FAA is set to reevaluate its rules on commercial drone flights in September 2015, but that hasn't stopped photographers from using drones to shoot wedding photos and video. And just last week, an Iowa wedding photography company added aerial drone photography to its services to brides and grooms. It charges $400 for a 30-minute drone shoot, and there's an extra charge for a 30-minute armed drone shoot. So there you go.
Well, at least they've...
Once they figure out how to tax it, they'll approve it.
Well, get used to them because it is going to be the wave of the future. There's no question about that. It's just the question is going to be how frequent are we going to encounter them in our lives, because they will be there. There will be many commercial uses for drones. You know, what was it, Amazon?
Amazon, sure.
Yeah, Amazon was talking
about
delivering
packages. This was just an offhanded comment that someone turned into, oh, my God, guess what they're doing? It's one of the things they're thinking of.
But with Amazon, it's not an offhanded comment. They are actually seriously pursuing that. And they see it as a viable form of delivery system. Mm-hmm. And eventually it will be. There's no question about that. The only question is, are we going to want these things all over the place?
And what happens when they drop that package on Grandma's head?
Hey, we already have enough mosquitoes in Florida.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Did you hear about what Barack Obama did to turn the greens red?
No, I can't wait.
The greens red.
No global warming, right?
This has not been announced by the White House because they didn't want a big splash about it, but they have opened the eastern seaboard to...
drilling?
Exploratory drilling.
Whoa. What?
Indeed. The Obama administration, believe it or not, turning all of us red here. We never thought they'd do anything right. And who knows what the reasoning behind it is. But the Obama administration has quietly, very quietly, although the Greens have noticed, opened the eastern seaboard to exploratory drilling, which basically what that means is they're going to go out there and with seismic devices, they are going to determine the extent of oil and natural gas. What I mean by seismic devices, and this is what the Greens don't like even about this stage, much less the actual drilling, they don't like the seismic devices because they basically create with sound waves, simulate more or less quakes or explosions by sending sound waves through the Earth's crust and then determining... monitoring those sound waves and how they travel, how fast they travel, and various other parameters, they can tell what the sound waves are going
through. Like a sophisticated radar. Yeah.
Exactly. And they can tell when the sound waves are going through, for instance, an oil field or a patch of oil. The problem with the Greenies have is that creating these sound waves, they think, is akin to torturing animals such as whales, porpoises,
all
and
mammals,
dolphins,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mammals who operate with sonar themselves or have very highly sophisticated and sensitive hearing.
In that case, any station that plays Katy Perry is assaulting my ear.
Absolutely.
You need to stop it.
Clear me,
Rick Scott has got to use this in his race because you know Charlie Crist is going to be like with his best buddy, yeah, we need to do this, we need to do this, explore oil around Florida. Rick Scott could use that.
Well, that's an interesting point that you make because
turn the environmentalists against the Democrats on this
one. Yeah, because Charlie Crist is Barack's BFF.
I mean,
he is really going out of his way to be his BFF too. However, you know, this is not a liberal position. This is not something that liberals generally are going to like, which is why the Greens are turning red with anger at Barack Obama in doing just this, which is simply to allow exploratory exploration for oil, which is not really drilling, but using these seismic techniques to determine whether the oil is even out there.
And if it's financially viable, then that could lead to actually opening out rigs.
Which would then require more approval from the federal government. But, you know, the Greens, they don't want any small, minute, whatever movement away from their cause, especially from a guy like Barack Obama. And, you know, who won't allow the Keystone Pipeline to be built, for instance. But should he go forward, this would mean a tremendous amount of new, high-paying jobs that don't require college degrees. And so a lot of people could be lifted out of poverty if he would actually go forward to this.
And it's all across the seaboard from New York all the way down to Florida?
Details are sketchy.
Yeah.
Eastern seaboard. Right? Like I say, they don't want a lot of attention, evidently, from this.
Not.
All right. Because, you know, the people who will like it obviously aren't big Barack Obama fans, and the people who don't like it probably aren't big Barack Obama fans anymore either. This is beautiful stuff. Isn't politics beautiful? All right. What's even more beautiful than politics is Lair's closing comments. And we'll get to those as soon as we come back from the break. Don't forget, when we go off the air at 8 o'clock, you can listen to live radio by simply staying here on AM 660 The Answer and listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters until 11 o'clock. Or you can do like me and go up the dial to 950 WTLN and listen to John Butler Book for an hour live. And then come back down and listen to Armed American Radio. Whatever you do, though, please don't go away. All right, welcome back, folks, and we're closing in on wrapping up our three-hour Sunday evening tour. You are listening to The American Adversaries, and let me just remind you once again, when our show is over, go on up the dial to 950 WTLN. John Butler Book has John Micah, Congressman John Micah, on his show tonight live in the studio. That's right, so you don't want to miss that. And that, once again, will start as soon as our show wraps up here on our sister station, WTLN 950. In the meantime, however, one of the best parts of our show on Sunday nights is Lair's closing comments. So, Lair, have at her.
Thanks, Bud, and folks, I'm really glad to be back. Although he didn't like getting up at 5 in the morning on his birthday to do his job, this special day was enormously more special. I can't tell you the young boy's age, but he was old enough and responsible enough to handle a fairly large bicycle newspaper delivery route. It meant every day before school, waking up hours earlier than anyone else in the family, and going to the garage to fold the recently dropped off bundled stacks and securing them with a rubber band. The papers had to be prepared correctly, not for the customer, but to make an easily hurled projectile to go a good distance nearest the door. However, delivering the paper on this birthday seemed not to be a chore. Now, this birthday, he was not only glad to spread the news, he almost felt it was his duty. It was as if he was doing the job of the paper boys in the 20s and 30s, who shouted out the news headlines to sell their scandal sheets. He was proud to work on this birthday as he delivered the Miami Herald and the blazing headline, "Man Walks on the Moon." And it happened on his birthday. Sure, he knew it was just luck, a coincidence or happenstance, but a better present for a nerdy kid hooked on science fiction couldn't exist. There have been some major headlines. Japan surrenders, it's the end of the war. President Kennedy assassinated. The Twin Towers destroyed. But those accomplishments and tragedies only showcase our internal struggle to coexist. Man Walks on the Moon has got to be our species' greatest example of what we've done since the discovery of the wheel. 45 years ago, three men got into a sardine can and jumped out of the aquarium. To do so was just a dream of many of those in the thick, safe environment. But some fish just have to jump, if for no other reason than to see what's beyond the fishbowl. Three of the bravest men of our species actually went to the moon, walked on it, scooped up some dirt, and laid out a golf course. Yeah, well, sorta. But this showed every human being on the planet that these earthly bonds could be broken. Even if it's for a short time, it was no longer science fiction. And the really cool part is, it was America. Still, to this day, our flag is the only one planted on our satellite moon. The young boy actually read every part of the moon landing story as he pumped his bicycle pedals to speed around the still dark neighborhood streets. The boy noticed the papers flew farther than ever and never missed their target. He felt proud as he put away his bike and got ready for school. Well, by the way, I still have one of the leftover papers I delivered that morning. This week, dream big, my friends.
And happy birthday to Lair Adams.
Tomorrow.
Right.
When man actually walked on the moon.
Yep.
Yeah, as a young boy, they called me up and asked me when my birthday was, and I said, yeah, you can land on or walk on my birthday.
Rendezvous with the moon.
It's amazing to think that was 45 years ago.
I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And my brother and I and mom and dad stand up late that night
that
to watch
night,
the moon.
That night we did too.
Landing.
They let me stay up late. And yeah. I had to get it to deliver the paper.
My dad had one of those old, I think it was, 8 millimeter movie cameras, you know? Yeah. And we were trying to you know, photograph what was on the TV.
Well, good luck with all that technology.
Oh, yeah. I kept going to my dad. Dad, should I get this part? Get everything, kid. It was a great moment in American history. And we need to get back to that, how should I say, mentality that we can, and not only can we, but we should be doing
yes.
these things
yes.
in the United States of America. By the way, I'd like to read you a little something. You know, several weeks ago, one of our great listeners, Diane, from right here in Apopka, gave me a little book to give to Colonel Danny McKnight. And Diane, I'm going to give it to him Thursday night when he comes over and does our show and has dinner with us at Cafe Positano. But I've started reading it, and I just, to be honest with you, I needed to read more of it before I gave it to him. This is a little book called Strength for Service to God and Country. This little book was given to every soldier who went to World War II. It's got an inscription into it. It was presented to Arthur A. Wick, or Nick. Nix, it looks like, dated November 2nd, 1942. And it's a prayer book, and it's an inspirational book, and it has an inspiration for every day. And I've often wondered, you know, where does Barack Obama really get his strength? You know, how did he really get himself elected? Because he really is nothing more than just a lot of, you know, fluff and
words.
What
is his core? What is his center?
Yeah, like I've said on the show many times, he's all show and no go. Right? And that's an expression that we used to have in drag racing. When you had a flashy-looking car, but it couldn't win anything, you were all show and no go, right? That's what this president is. Well, I read this. This is actually for August 4th, and it's called The Strength of a People. But I think it says a lot about where we are and where we need to think about being. So let me just read a little bit. It says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any, that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." That's from Jeremiah 5:1. Now the book goes on to say, "As the Hebrew prophets saw it, the greatest danger which confronted their people was not the military might of the great enemy empires, real as that danger was. Their greatest peril lay in their own interior rottenness. History is full of examples, including modern ones, which bear out the prophets' contention. But the Hebrew prophets did not stop there. The hope of the nation lies in its people who love justice and seek the truth. So great is their power for good that the prophet says that if one such be found, he shall be enough to save the city of Jerusalem. While we may not take this statement literally, we must take it seriously. The chief bulwark of any nation, without which all other bulwarks fail, is the character of its people, men and women, who love justice so much they practice it, who love truth so much that they believe it in preference to lies, although these be what they want to believe. Nor dare we escape the personal reference of the words of Jeremiah. They march right up to you and me and ask, what are we going to do about it? A majority isn't needed, just a few. A start can be made with you alone." I think the lesson in this is what gives Barack Obama strength and power is that people are so very willing to believe his lies because that's what they want to believe. You know, they want to believe that liberalism, progressivism is actually good for people when it is an out-and-out lie. When you see the reality of the practice of it, you know that there is nothing truthful about it. That is nothing but built on lies and half-truths, if even that. And when people are so willing to believe lies, they are going to be so easily misled.
A group of nihilists.
In essence. But that's why I believe politicians like Barack Obama can get past first base. Because people are so willing to believe the doggone lies. They just want to believe the rosy scenarios. They don't want to face reality. They don't want to understand that when we pull out of Iraq because we don't like being there, that it leaves a huge hole that the bad guys fill. You know, we want to believe the lie that everything's fine in Afghanistan. We can come on home now and everything's going to be just great. It is a lie. We want to believe the lie that Barack Obama has a handle on the Ukraine or Syria or Israel. As long as you are willing to accept lies and not believe the truth when it is not what you want to believe, you will be led around by the nose.
Now, this book that Diane gave us, was given to all military who shipped overseas,
yes,
during World War II.
Indeed.
Can you imagine what the outcry would be if they gave books like that away today to our soldiers?
Well, if you just turn into the inside cover, would be cause for eliminating it. It has the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, wow.
All four verses. Right?
Can't have that.
No. And in the back, it has the Pledge of Allegiance. It has America the Beautiful. It has America the Song. It has everything that the liberals hate.
Danny McKnight was talking at the service on Friday about giving those Psalm 91 cards to the kids over in Afghanistan. He said he even gave them to kids who didn't ask for them. And they said, what's this? He said, read it. Then you'll know why I gave it to you.
Yeah.
There is power in the word, folks. That is why there is power in truth. Seek it. Even if you're the only one seeking it, God knows, and it makes a difference. All right. Okay, like I said, please stick around for John Butler Book. He's coming up live with Congressman John Micah. They will be up the dial at 950 on WTLN for the next hour, and I will be listening, that is for sure. And then you can come back down the dial and listen to 2 hours of Armed American Radio with Mark Walters. Great radio live all weekend long right here on AM 660, The Answer. Don't forget, Lair's back on the Drive Time show tomorrow. Carl Jackson live every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And Marshall Polston, that pistol, he does a whale of a show every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock right here on AM 660, The Answer. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. That's going to do it. Night, everybody.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of San